This is Vision for Christ, a radio ministry of Future Vision Ministries. Our offices are in the city of Cambridge in Ontario, Canada. My name is Tim Taylor, and I am a friend of Dan Hayhoe. You frequently hear Dan on this program. I live in the United States in the state of Ohio, and I am recording this talk from my home in the U.S. Today, I'm sending you a recorded message made about 2 months ago by my longtime pastor of my home church, Pastor Terry Priestap, on the subject of heaven, which I've been talking about on previous broadcasts. This message was recorded at a Sunday morning church service. Here now is Terry Priestap to open up the program today in prayer.
Let's ask God for his blessing this morning as we spend time in his word. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before you today, and we just thank you for your many, many mercies to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the vision of heaven. And I pray especially, Lord, for each one here this morning that knows you as their Lord and Savior, but perhaps have not been as focused on eternal realities in heaven as they might have been. God, I pray that today you'd give us a fresh vision of yourself and of heaven and the realities of that place that we are all going to, that it might shape us and form us into the Christians that you want us to be here in this world. Help us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And Father, I pray too that in a large company like this, there are often those who are undecided, that have never made the decision yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and know with absolute assurance and confidence that if they should die today, that they would go to heaven. And so, Father, I pray that you'd give them that assurance and confidence today, that they would not trifle with eternity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. As we come down to the very last, second to last day of 2012, I pray, God, that this would be a new day in the lives of everyone here in this room. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm just going to read seven verses there. And there may be other verses I refer to. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone give a message on heaven. In all my Christian life, going back to 1960, 53 years, I don't think I've ever heard a message on heaven. It's kind of strange given that heaven is the destination for every Christian. And for most Christians, I think it's a place that they desire to reach eventually, but not until they've lived out a full life on earth. And I'll be honest, this past year has had me thinking a lot about heaven. As most of you know, I have advanced prostate cancer. And according to the medical professionals, it's just a matter of time. I believe that a focus on eternity motivated and shaped the early church so that they turned the Roman Empire upside down. Here they were, most of them were poor. Most of them lived in places where they were relatively poor, but they focused on eternity. You know, I doubt if there was ever a servant of the Lord more productive or more motivated than the Apostle Paul. God took Paul up, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you've never read that, he takes Paul up into the third heaven. The third heaven. What is the third heaven? The atmosphere around the earth is the first heaven. The second heaven is the universe that we can explore with our telescopes. The third heaven is what has been referred to as God's dwelling place. or uncreated glory. Uncreated glory, the place where God is. And when Paul was caught up to that place, it says that he saw things that were not lawful to speak. Not lawful, right? He saw so many things that were incredible things, incredible blessings, that he couldn't put it into words. And God knew that based on what Paul had seen, he needed to be humbled. And so he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Why would he need a thorn in the flesh? Because it would just have puffed him up so much that he was one who had gone up into that third heaven, had been there and seen it, seen what it was like, and then came back down. Brothers and sisters, I believe that that transformed Paul for the rest of his life. That his view of heaven transformed him to the point where he could write things like in Philippians 2:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." This was not just words of hyperbole, that was exaggeration. Paul knew that the next world, to be with Christ, was far better. Far better. It was over the top better. It was beyond anything that Paul could even put into words. It was better. And so it transformed him. And so even though Paul faced death many, many times, and you can read it in 2 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, of the number of times he was whipped, he was stoned, he was left, all kinds of things that he went through, he could look forward to the moment that he would be with the Lord. He said in verse 23 of Philippians chapter 2, my desire is to be with Christ, which is far better. That's my desire. To be with Christ is far, far better. And that was not an exaggeration on Paul's part. It transforms his life so that whatever he went through, he knew waiting for him. He didn't think about what was waiting for him as a lion in an arena or somebody with a sword to cut off his head. That's not what he was waiting for. He was waiting to be with Christ. I know when it comes to the gospel, most of you have heard it a million times. And most of you have already, you've already settled the question, most of you. But for those of you that may be in doubt, those of you that, for one reason or another, very foolishly, have put off this question of resolving this issue of where you're going to spend eternity, that you're going to be in heaven, then these words are to you. Because it's of eternal importance that if there's just one person here today that has never settled this issue, that you do it this morning. And stop taking chances with your eternal soul. Jesus gave his disciples very plain talk in John 14 about heaven. Thomas asked the question that is the most important question in the world. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Don't you love it when people ask questions like that? You ever been in a room like in a class where you're afraid to ask a question because you don't want to look stupid? Oh, man, I've done that many times. Thomas didn't care. Thomas was one of those kind of guys. I don't know what his personality was and all that, but he had to know the answer. He wanted a specific answer. And he asked the question, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" But, you know, Thomas didn't want to be lost. He wanted to go there, and he realized that there was something really important being said here, and he wanted to zero in on it. He wanted to be sure of it. And so Jesus said this great verse. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's exclusive. I know we don't like that in our multicultural world where everybody, as long as you're sincere, you know, everything's going to be okay. But I guarantee you that when somebody wants to get to Detroit Metro, they don't just jump in their car and say, "Well, I'm sincere, you know, all the roads lead to Detroit Metro." No, that's not the case. There's only one way to heaven. One way. You know, think about this. If there had been a different way to heaven, an easier way to heaven, wouldn't God have chosen that method rather than sending his son to go to an incredibly painful, unbelievably horrid cross and there be punished as a sin offering for your sins and mine? Wouldn't God have chosen a different way if he could have done it? Absolutely. And so the greatest price that ever could be paid has been paid. There's no such thing as cheap grace. No such thing as an easy way to heaven, because Jesus paid the ultimate penalty. And he became sin for us at the cross so we might be able to go to heaven. You know, the next verse is true also. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now, you know that that's a universal truth. All means all, and that's all that all means. right? It's universal. So no matter how good you are, no matter how close you come, that you're better than somebody else, that still means that if you've sinned, and all have sinned, that makes you a sinner. And that makes you fall short of the glory of God. There is no way on your own, based on that you can ever make it to heaven. One of my favorite set of verses is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it says, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Folks, that is enough. That's enough in that verse, those two verses, to get saved on, to get to heaven on. Because it says it's by grace only. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a gift. It's something God can give you. It's not, even the faith is a gift from God. It's not by your works, no matter how good you are. No matter how many good things you have done, you're going to fall short. So that verse by itself is enough. You can't deserve it. You can't work for it. Your hard work isn't going to get you there. You fall short. God requires what is past, and one sin will keep you out of heaven. It is a gift. God is too rich to sell it, and you're too poor to buy it. God wants to give it to you as a free gift from His Son. He offers you salvation as a gift, forgiveness of all of your sins. Like the orphan boy, you were chosen. You're chosen. The Bible says you've been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1:11. You're not an accident. God chose you for a purpose. And God, having chosen you in eternity past, also called you. Those whom He predestined, He also called. Romans 8:30. And that calling never ends. You are called in eternity past unto eternity future. So now, the Bible says, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians 4:1. There's a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life.
Thank you, Terry. That was Terry Priestap, longtime pastor of my home church in Ohio in the United States. Let us now go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving Terry and myself the opportunity to share the gospel with millions of people listening on their radios today. I ask you to give them the holy desire to surrender the control of their lives over to your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would repent of their sin and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so they too may join with all of your saints in heaven according to your appointed timetable. I pray in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Future Vision Ministries so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people everywhere, how people can receive Christ by faith. We want you to become a sincere and true believer in Christ as your Savior. Future Vision Ministries is involved in helping to make disciples who will follow Christ daily and then live out their faith through good acts of service to others who live near them. As we look around us, we see much work that needs to be done, both in Africa and worldwide. We enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Future Vision Ministries, 1145 Concession Road, Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, N3H4L5. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you were not able to write it down. We enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about what I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address, Future Vision Ministries, 1145 Concession Road, spelled C-O-N-C-E-S-S-I-O-N Road, Cambridge, Ontario, Canada, N3H4L5. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor speaking on behalf of Dan Hayhoe, praying God's great blessings, joy, and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship.